He's burning out the crime and rot.
He has more experience than he's saying when it comes to these sort of streetwalkers.
Although they went darker than I expected. But I don't think they would go the syphilis route on an animated Batman.
Look, this is the 19th century. Marriage is a business proposition.
Hello and welcome to Movies.
Hello and welcome to Movie Smash, a show where we dive headfirst into comic book movies outside the MCU. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash from a movie whose source materials from a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of Off Panel Creations. With me today, I have a person who's often trying to gaslight me, Jeremy Parmentier.
Hi, this is Jeremy Parmentier, also of the Retrovaniacs podcast by Gaslight.
With us today, we also have a guest, Dan Collins from the Geeks with Beards podcast. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Oh, no problem, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, I'm Daniel from the Geeks with Beards podcast, and I got gas tonight.
Our movie tonight is 2018's Batman Gotham by Gaslight, starring Bruce Greenwood, Jennifer Carpenter, and Chris Cox, directed by Sam Lau.
There's a butcher in this town preying on poor women, and the Gotham police stand twiddling their thumbs.
Your evening attire, sir.
That was not the suit I need, Alfred.
I mean to rid Gotham of the Ripper. He's a skilled hunter, and he's just getting started.
You're studying me.
You're a fascinating subject.
I'm not just another pretty face.
Bruce Wayne, you are under arrest.
You can't imagine I'm actually the Ripper.
The deluxe suite. I need to get out of here.
Gotham needs the Batman. Every moment puts women in danger.
So guys, now I think this is our first Elseworld Batman movie, but were you guys familiar at all with this comic?
I wasn't, no. Actually, well, that's a lie. I'd heard about it, but I never read it. So I had no knowledge of this going into watching this movie. And this was actually the first time watch of the movie for me as well.
Yeah, I knew that this existed because there's a lot of the Batman Elseworlds kind of toys and other things that I knew about. But I had not read this before or seen it. So this will be a first time view for me as well.
Yeah. And for me, I had heard of I discovered the movie first. This is years ago when it first came out. And that led me to go read the comic. But actually, while reading it, I think this is the first Elseworlds storyline they ever had.
It's definitely unofficially the first. They didn't have the Elseworlds line when this started, which is the little bit of I do know about the comic, but it has become, retroactively an Elseworlds comic.
Yeah, it was what, 1989, I believe. So yeah, that was definitely their first one. I think even the collections didn't even really say Elseworlds on it when they put it out, I don't believe.
So Jeremy, why don't you give us a little bit of history on this comic?
Sure. This was, as you just mentioned, it's a 1989 graphic novel, considered to be the first Elseworlds story, which means it's kind of a Batman story that doesn't fit into the regular canon. It can be in other timelines, other essences of Batman. And so this one is essentially based in a Victorian era Gotham City. So it's loosely tied to Batman, but he's fighting Jack the Ripper, a version of Jack the Ripper that is attacking Gotham City.
So if this is your first time joining us, just a heads up, we're going to be discussing certain elements of this movie that I consider spoilers. And if you don't see the movie first, you might just find out we just gaslit you a little bit. So consider yourself warned. Dan, what actually happens in Batman by Gaslight? Or Gotham by Gaslight, sorry.
Well, Bruce has been in Europe for a little while. We don't know exactly how long. He comes back to Gotham to discover that some grisly murders have been going on and find out it's Jack the Ripper. And he's trying to investigate to find out who the Ripper is. He meets up with Selina Kyle, who's a woman of the night, I guess, and you find out that Jack the Ripper is actually Commissioner Gordon, trying to clean up the streets of all the evil and the refuse, and he sees that the women and the whores are the worst of the worst.
See, we spoiled it for you right out of the gate. So this story is basically...
Sorry about that.
No problem. Just generally speaking, how do you think about this representation of sort of the Batman family and the Batman verse?
I actually thought it was pretty cool because you have the three Robins. You have Dick, Jason, and Tim as the little boys going around, kind of being pickpockets and stuff and robbing people. This version of Batman was pretty cool. He's just that brawler. It doesn't really seem like he had a lot of training, fight training maybe, but maybe it's just because, Ripper was better at fighting than he was. But I really liked this interpretation of the characters for 19th century Gotham City. I really did. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I was glad that it was Batman, not like it's current day Batman, gone through time somehow, right? This is actually a Batman of the time. So he's got, you know, the bat tools and things that you normally have as Batman, but they're appropriate for the Victorian time frame. I mean, they're still a little unrealistic. They wouldn't have some of those things, but it, at least it makes sense. It's not him with a, you know, the Batmobile. He does have a Batmobile, but it's not like this. It's a carriage, right? So it's not the same thing at all. I really like that. I like that, you know, again, it's still Bruce as, you know, a rich autocrat. So he's got, you know, he does have, he does have Alfred there to help him out. And as you mentioned, there are some kind of like poor orphans that are, you know, running around that end up being what the names of the traditional Robins. There's also other ties to the universe we're going to talk about, but it's thankfully it's all people who, you know, it's an alternate universe Gotham. It's an alternate time Gotham. So it thankfully isn't everybody that you know from the comics as they are and then placed into this setting. That would be weird.
This is less of a steampunk Batman and more of like a true Victorian Batman. Did you guys get the same feeling about that?
I did, yeah. I did like his motorcycle that he gets and like the grapple gun that he uses, kind of the pressurized like that. But yeah, I got that feeling on that too. I honestly wouldn't have mind maybe a little bit more steampunk in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a light steampunk. Along with the things that were just mentioned that Batman has that are not truly steampunk, but not also like not really realistic for the time frame. There's also like the fact that there's a giant, you know, police blimp that is very much that kind of steampunk sort of feel. It's there, but it's not as heavy as you'd expect if it was put out now, where I think it would have a much heavier steampunk look.
Yeah, and I think this Batman is more of a, you mentioned it, Dan, he's more of a brawler, but he's also has that detective in him a little bit, but it's less of like Kung Fu Batman and more brawler fisticuffs Batman.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's fist up, it's bare knuckle boxing kind of Batman is what this version is. But yeah, he definitely has the detective stuff, and we'll get into that in a minute, which I like to see. I'm glad they did at least try to throw in a little bit of, you know, the detective side of him. It wasn't just him fighting and him, you know, just socializing and then fighting. I'm glad they threw the detective stuff in there as well.
One of the first characters we're introduced to is Ivy. Did you guys think she played a bigger part for the way she was introduced, or you kind of like that sort of cameo she had?
I was a little disappointed that she was just very, very little in the beginning of the movie. I was hoping she'd be a little bit more. I didn't really know, watching this being my first time, what to expect. Like, would they have their superpowers or would they just be regular people? I didn't really know. But yeah, honestly, I did. I was really, really hoping she'd have a bigger part in the movie than she did, unfortunately.
I don't mind that she didn't have a bigger role. It's fine that she's in there. It's a nice nod to, you know, Batman fans, like, oh, here's some characters you'll know, here's some names you'll recognize. And there's a lot of that in this movie. But other than Batman and really one or two other people, everybody else is kind of like, it's a nice nod to Batman, but it's not, hey, here's, you know, Ivy in this universe. It's just a person with the same name that happens to be, you know, integral to the plot, I suppose, but not a main figure.
Yeah, and I think it was a shock probably to viewers as well that she would be killed off so early in the movie.
Yeah, there are not many. I don't think there's anyone with superpowers in this movie.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's Batman has some tools and some things like the bike and things that wouldn't necessarily fit in that time frame. But again, that's not really, Batman doesn't have superpowers anyway. He's a detective that happens to make a lot of cool toys and have a lot of money. So it's to say, you know, he's about the same, but everyone else is just either really good at fighting or really good at deducing.
Jeremy, you mentioned some of the nods that were in this movie. What other nods besides Ivy did you see?
I mean, you've got Commissioner Gordon is not Commissioner Gordon, but he's in the movie. You've got, again, we already mentioned the orphans that have the same name as the Robins. And again, that's not pointed out at no point where they're like, oh, yeah, this is just like Robin. They just happen to have those same names. You do have Alfred. You've got Selina Kyle is another main character in the movie who does play a larger role, but it's not Catwoman Selina Kyle. It's Selina Kyle, who happens to be a lot like Batman, good at deducing and good at fighting.
Yeah, Lion Tamer. Selina Kyle in this one, so she still has the connection to the cats a little bit.
Yeah,
I think Harvey Dent was in this as well, wasn't he?
Yes, you know, he's the lawyer, but he's a straight lawyer in this.
But he was also, yeah, Selina's love interest at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, but he's not Selina's love interest. Selina is his love interest and is not interested in him.
Yeah, I like when he's telling Bruce, he's like, I think I'm in love, and he's like, well, I'll tell your wife. Look, this is the 19th century. Marriage is a business proposition and whatever. Selina has no interest in Harvey whatsoever.
None.
None whatsoever.
and then of course you have the Alfred character who has to be in every single Batman.
Well, and he is Alfred. He's still the butler. He's still Bruce Wayne's, like he works for Mr. Wayne. So that still fits.
Yeah. Giles from Buffy.
Yeah. We don't learn anything about the background of this Batman at all. Like, we don't know And I'm not necessarily wanting an origin story. I'm just saying, like, we don't know what his backstory is like at all compared to that of what we know Batman to be. We just know that, Dan, I think you said it, he just got back from Europe, whatever that means.
Yeah, they definitely go into it more in the comic, for sure, that I read. But for the movie purposes, like, I was in Europe, now I'm back.
There's a lot that happens in this movie. What scenes stood out to you guys?
For me, pretty much every scene that involved Batman fighting Jack the Ripper were great. I love the choreography that they animated the fights between them. And I liked the Arkham Asylum scene with Hugo Strange. I thought that was pretty cool. I like that one. But I have to definitely say, for me, the fights, every time him and Jack the Ripper fought, was definitely the standout scenes for me in the movie.
And the first real fight they have is when he's going to defend Selina Kyle, even though she doesn't need him to, turns out.
She lets him know that for sure.
Right. But that's a good fight because it's not just like, okay, Batman comes in. You get to see that he's got some fighting skill, but you also get to see, wait a minute, Jack the Ripper's not just, you know, this kind of slasher that you'd imagine Jack the Ripper being. He's got some sort of fighting ability, and he's a little more than you'd think in a traditional Jack the Ripper story.
Yeah. Batman even says that. He's like, yeah, he's like, you know, he can fight. He's left-handed, you know, and he's got some skill, more skill than I thought that he had. Yeah, he definitely takes Batman by surprise with the way he's able to handle himself and fight him off, because he's probably used to people just like the guy in the alley with the kids, you know, just be able to take them out in a few punches and that's it.
Yeah, there are quite a few fights in this movie. I mean, we also had the scenes that took place in we have Doctor Strange. Is it Doctor Strange? Hugo Strange? Is kind of put out there to be kind of a red herring a little bit, I think. To sort of say maybe he knows something about this crazy character, Jack the Ripper. What did you guys think of the Hugo Strange scenes, including that in the asylum?
You know what? It kind of threw me for a loop when I first seen him, because they definitely had some red herrings in my eyes, because I was thinking it was a couple other people besides who the main guy will be, the Ripper. I liked him. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I guess they tried to fit in as much as they could. But again, it's one of those things I kind of like to had a little bit more of him in the movie. I know he kind of exposition dumped himself a little bit, what he was doing and why he wanted to speak to Batman and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like there should have been a little bit more of him involved in the story.
Yeah, I was actually pretty happy with the number of red herrings in here. I didn't see exactly what the, you know, we already said who it was, but you didn't know that from the beginning. And in fact, you weren't sure it wasn't them, but there were so many other people. You thought it might be Harvey Dent. You thought it might be, I never thought it was Hugo Strange, but there were other people that were visible in the asylum. You're like, well, maybe it's one of them, like he's sending them out or he's drugging them or something to become this, you know, more of like a Bane kind of character, right? You wouldn't know what it's going to be. There's a lot of these little red herrings everywhere. So I liked him being in there because it kind of explained a little more and it gave you some other options of who it could be, which is nice.
Yeah, there are definitely quite a few red herrings in this movie. It's funny, Doctor Strange, whenever I see Hugo Strange, he was saying Doctor Strange, but whenever I see Hugo Strange in a movie, I often think to myself, like, he's always the one behind it. Like, he's always one pulling some, you know, string. He's, you know, converted one of his patients to become, you know, a killer or something. Or he's trying to manipulate people to get a hold of something. So, yeah, I was really thrown for it. Speaking of the twist at the end of the movie, did you guys expect that twist?
Oh, no. No, it threw me for a loop. And when I seen it, who it was, who the Ripper was at the end of the movie, I'm like, verbally, like, what? Because I was thinking it was another character. You know, I was completely drifted away from who it really is at the end of the movie. So it definitely shocked me. They did their job in that movie. They shocked me for sure with the ending of it.
Well, I wasn't even sure which, you know, by the end, you kind of realize it's somebody who's got a tie into the police department or law enforcement or something. You haven't quite figured out who it is. But I was surprised that, you know, where I mentioned it was Gordon, I was surprised that they went that route. I think it worked, and I liked his motivations. I liked the logic for why he decided to, you know, maybe what caused this kind of psychotic break slash criminal path, but also just the scenes with his wife, where you see her face is burned, and then she's like, oh, well, that's because we're burning the sins out of us and stuff. I was like, holy crap, this got dark fast.
Yeah, and right before that, she's like, oh, he's gentle with us. He's real gentle. He just burns it away from us. I'm like, that's not gentle. That's definitely not gentle.
Well, we do see an earlier scene with him talking to his wife, and we don't see that side of her face when she's talking. And no. We do know that his goal, and I think she says at one point, is that he is trying to get, how does he describe it? Something about like the not the whores on the street, but that he knows that they're diseased or something.
Yeah, it's the idea of like that they're like impure. That's not the wording either, but that's the feeling you get from it.
Yeah. And I was reading somewhere
he's burning out the crime and rot.
Yeah. I read somewhere though, that the some of the thought behind it was maybe that he has more experience than he's saying when it comes to these sort of streetwalkers, I think is the word they use. the that's not my word. That he, you know, obviously at that time of existence, one of the biggest diseases you can catch is syphilis, which syphilis makes you go crazy. And the only cure for that people thought at the time would work against syphilis is you taking liquid mercury, which also makes you even crazier. So that maybe this is how he went crazy, is that he got some sort of disease, it spread, it just started eating away at his brain. And then he had this idea in his head that, you know, I need to sort of cure the world of the thing that got me. Does that play with you guys at all?
Well, I know, you know, he does mention definitely toward the end, the Batman, about when he was in the Civil War and that he saw a lot of death and a lot of, you know, disease and stuff. But the main thing that was the worst killer were the women that would come in and follow the soldiers around and basically, like you said, give them syphilis or whatever. And I think that is kind of what drove him to see them as the ultimate evil, I guess, in his mind of the world, or at least of Gotham City, to eliminate them, because they're pretty on the outside, but they hide an evil on the inside that, you know, you can't see it.
I like that logic for why he would have gone insane. I don't know if that is necessarily what they intended, only because the source material is dramatically different for who the killer is and why they're doing it to some level. Also, again, I know this is not a kids animated movie, but it's still an animated movie. So I don't think they would go that dark, although they went darker than I expected. But I don't think they would go the syphilis route on an animated Batman movie.
Well, I think it's the third animated R movie coming out of the DC Animation Studios. But you're right, Jeremy. It's still animated, and parents might just say, it's a cartoon. Let's watch it. Let the kids watch it.
And they didn't say it there. It doesn't mean it's not there. But they also didn't make him seem like what he was doing. There was a logic to it. It was his logic, and it was, you know, sick. But it wasn't like he wasn't doing things that were crazy. And up until really the very end, and that's only crazy because why would you fight in a giant burning Ferris wheel? But that's what they did.
Well, it wasn't a Ferris wheel. It was a Fox wheel.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a weird reason why, because the real Ferris wheel is named after the creator, Ferris. So this is named after the creator, Lucian Fox, who is from Batman comics.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have picked up on that. Right, yes.
Yeah. That makes more sense. I like how he's like, yeah, this rivals the Eiffel Tower, and you can spin around 15 miles an hour.
Can the human body handle that?
Oh, yes, 35 is, yeah.
Yeah, 35 miles per hour will kill you, but not 15. So, Jeremy, you've alluded to a couple times, Jeremy, that there are some serious differences between this movie, the animation, versus the actual book itself. Do you remember any of those key differences?
I mean, the big overall difference is like some of the other Batman animated movies we've watched, it's a different end person, right? There's another character introduced in the graphic novel that's like an old family friend. That's who ultimately ends up being Jack the Ripper in this. And the reason he's deciding to kill women in this, not necessarily our prostitutes, but women, is that he was in love with Martha, Bruce's mother. And since she wasn't interested in him, he decided that everyone that reminded him of Bruce's mother, he was going to kill. So it's got that kind of thing to it. But it has the same general arc. Batman's been, you know, in Europe, and then he comes back to Gotham. Bruce gets framed for the murder somehow, these murders. And so he ends up in jail. Graphic novel, you know, Gordon immediately is like, no, this can't be the case. You're not really the killer. So I'm going to instead give you all the information we have, and you can try to help me figure it out as a detective in jail. And then, you know, kind of helps him with Alfred get out of jail to take on the true. But it's still different enough, right? You don't have the Selina Kyle character. You don't have this same arc, and it's not Gordon ultimately as the.
We had a similar change when it came to Hush. Jeremy kind of alluded to the end guy is different.
Yes.
And that one surprised you. Was this a better change?
This didn't bother me because this is an Elseworld story, or it's at least a non-traditional Batman story. There doesn't have to be any connectivity. I was surprised with Hush because the end killer in Hush, one, doesn't lead to what would be another villain in the Batman universe that would be continued with the next Hush, but also he dies. Like, he kills the Riddler. And you're like, well, does that mean the Riddler never comes back in these Batman animated movies? But this one didn't bother me because, again, it is a different timeline. There doesn't need to be this connectivity.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, it did shock me. Like I said, I've not read the book, but I did research it a little bit about the differences, because what I've read of Batman, I mean, Gordon's always the good guy. He's always on the side with Batman. And then when you see in this movie, he's revealed to be the Ripper, no matter his motives. I'm like, that took me aback for a minute. I'm like, whoa, they took like probably one of the best people in Gotham City that's not Batman and turned him into like the ultimate villain, you know, in this version. So it definitely shocked me for sure compared to the original material.
So this movie clocks in about, 88 minutes long?
I like the setting. I would like to see more with that version of Batman. I like the more detective-y Batman stuff sometimes than the just straight up fighting Batman or all gadgets Batman. So I would like to see more of this character. And this world is interesting because it's not tied to really anything. It's kind of this weird London-y Gotham, and I liked it. So I would definitely like to see more of it, but I don't know if this story needed to be any longer, like on its own. This arc is good for 88 minutes. Like it has a good, I feel like it filled up the time well. I never got bored. But did I need to pad out more of that? Not nearly, but I would love to see more of, you know, Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne and everybody in this time frame.
Yeah, I think it was a good runtime. I think it did what it needed to do. Like I said, I would like to see a little more Hugo Strange, just a little. And like Jeremy said, definitely a little bit more Selina and Bruce, their relationship. But, you know, for what it was, I wasn't bored either. It stayed good, you know. I don't know, maybe a couple of more killings by the Ripper, maybe. I know we got, what, 3, I believe it was? Because I think the older lady was the last one that showed, I believe. Yeah, that's how they were able to frame Bruce. But no, I like the movie. I think it was timed good. I think it was paced good. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it seems that most of these animated movies are just about 90 minutes long. Seems to be sort of what they're aiming for. Dan, I kind of agree with you a little bit. It would have been nice to get some more killing, meaning that Bruce had to sort of do more detective work. I like to sort of think of the movie 7 in that. But if it was more like that, I think that'd be more thrilling. But Jeremy, you're right. It is a rated R movie, but it's animated, so the kids might watch it. So we can't only go so dark.
All these, at least the ones we've watched, the animated versions, all really do trim down a lot from the source material, even when it's way different. But I mean, Hush cut out big sections of it. When we did New Frontier, they cut out some pretty notable sections. The overall story is the same, but they really want to make it fit into this 90-minute window.
Yeah, and I did like with the moment when Alfred kind of goes up into the bat attic instead of the bat cave to see Bruce. And Bruce has, you know, got his microscope and he's looking at stuff. He's like, are you trying your fingerprint thing again? You know they'll never let that be evidence. I'm just like, ha-ha. That was a funny little line by Alfred. I like that.
Just so if you do want more of this style of Batman, there was a sequel movie that was made for it called Batman, the Doom That Came to Gotham. And that's a little bit more H.P. Lovecraft style than steampunk.
Well, there's also, in the source material, there's also some others. There's Batman Master of the Future that came out as a sequel, more or less, to this. And then there's apparently another animated series animated movie in works with the same era Batman.
I do enjoy these Elseworld movies, just because we sort of tread that path of Batman as much as we can. And these other takes are kind of interesting. Though it was kind of wrong to kill Ivy in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and I did like when Bruce is in the asylum, we see Cyrus Gold. And they're kind of just a little quick, you know, he's like, I'll beat you up in private. You're not worth, you know, a public demonstration or whatever.
So for our people who are listening who don't know who that is, who does he turn into?
Solomon Grundy, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
So one thing, though, and for a movie, though, we have mentioned this movie many, many times in several other episodes. Fergal keeps bringing it up. Jeremy, having this being your first time watching it, but hearing him talk about Butch, does it live up to the hype he had been giving it?
I mean, nothing's going to live up to the hype, right? If you talk about something every day about how good it is, doesn't matter what it is, you're going to be let down. That said, I did like this. I liked it. I was a little wary at first because anytime you go into this setting, it's always Jack the Ripper, right? So I was like, ugh, Batman versus Jack the Ripper. Okay, let's see. But it was better than I thought because it was not the traditional, like, it's Jack the Ripper. And then I was worried that it was going to be like, oh, is this, you know, this version of the Joker or something that was going to, again, kind of like take the Jack the Ripper story, but then it doesn't make any sense. Instead, it was, I don't know. I was actually very pleased with this as an animated short. I'm kind of glad I didn't read the source material first because I would have known, well, one, I would have expected a different ending, which is what happened with Hush. I was kind of let down by the ending. But at the same time, I enjoyed this because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be this kind of Batman. So I was pretty pleased with this. I'm not normally a big fan of this kind of like, oh, take a character that we know now and put them in a weird time frame, but I think a lot of the time it's because they do some sort of time travel thing to get there. I'm glad this is just a different version of Batman. So this one does hold up and it's a good standalone. You know, you don't need to do a lot of source material. You don't need to read everything. But if you were a big Batman fan, there was a lot of nods here for you.
Well, if you really want a time travel Batman, I would recommend going to see Batman Ninja.
I do not need that. I'm good.
So guys, what do you love about this movie and what could they have done better to sort of put it over the top for you?
I love the look of the movie, and I love it definitely was a detective, even though they didn't show a lot in the movie. It definitely was highlighting Batman's detective side of the character. I love the way the Victorian era looked, Gotham City looked, and everything like that. As far as what they could have done better, I don't know. I don't know if I really have anything really negative other than, like I said, maybe just a little bit more time with a few of the other characters that they threw in there. But other than that, I mean, to me, it's a really good movie. I don't really have a lot of negatives on it, to be truthful with you. I enjoyed it for a first time watch and not knowing the source material until after I watched the movie. I really enjoyed it. I loved the movie.
I think the biggest thing, and you kind of mentioned, I would like to have seen some more of the straight detective things. But also, if you're going to have Batman with these weird little gadgets, there wasn't a lot of it. It was pretty much like you saw he had a belt and he had some tools, but you didn't really see what a lot of those things were. I would have liked to have seen kind of more, even if it was just detective tools, like, oh, no, it is like whatever he's using for fingerprints, or it's whatever, you know, things that would make more sense as this version of Batman. I think otherwise I was pretty happy with this. I liked that I didn't. There wasn't a lot that was. It wasn't obvious. I like that it wasn't obvious. I like that we were kind of surprised with who the Ripper ended up being. But at the same time, once it happened, you were like, what? This came out of nowhere. Like, it all kind of fit together nicely. So they did a good job with that. But yeah, I think I would like to have known a little more about this version of Batman himself. But I understand you're trying to fit this into 90 minutes. And thank God we didn't have the first half an hour be an origin story. So I'm good with that.
The only thing I could say that I thought would be better if they could have done differently a little bit is when it comes to like a mystery, I like it where it's, I don't guess it as it was going along. It is a surprise at the end, but where I say to myself, looking back, oh, I should have figured that out. And one thing about this movie, that's not really possible. They kind of like do that big exposition dump when Selina Kyle goes to his house.
Right.
And they see sort of the vision board, if you would, of what these killings are all about. And it's sort of, it's not like there was something that was said in like, you know, the first act or anything that was said in the second act. We're like, okay, they're weird hints and I should have picked up on that, but I just wasn't paying attention enough. Maybe I should go rewatch and see if I can find those. I didn't see any of that. I've seen this movie several times. I've got it. It's one of my steelbooks. But I've never seen those hints laid out. Maybe I'm just oblivious to it. And it's always sort of a surprise at the end, meaning like there's no hints getting to it. Though I do like the movie. I like the style. I love the look of it. I like the second movie as well. We'll probably do that at some point. It has more H.P. Lovecraft to it than this does, which is kind of fun.
Well, see, I like that spin. I like that you take another... And again, you take this character in this time frame, and Lovecraft's another way to go with it. So that's an interesting take that still makes sense. It's not like, oh, yeah, now he's in space. What? Why is Gotham Batman Gotham by Gaslight Batman in space?
It reminds me of the old movie where they all got like jumped into a giant sized bullet and got shot at the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the bat ship. So, guy, would you want to see a live adaptation of this movie?
I would enjoy seeing a live action version of it. I think. I know we've had other live action versions of Jack the Ripper movie and stuff, but this being a Batman story, if it's done right, if they do it right, you know, maybe more detective stuff and not go too outlandish with it, kind of keep it grounded as the source material is. Yeah, I definitely would go watch a live action version of it.
If you're going to do Elseworlds Batman, then yes, I guess this is a good one to do. But if you're, I don't know, they have a lot to do already. Like, it's not like they don't have anything else to do with this revitalization. There's plenty of other characters that need to be, you know, have current modern day versions of their stories that all fit into their universe. So you need to also then put a bunch of Elseworlds books in there to fill up more time. Why not just focus on making the ones you have really good and connected so people are excited?
Yeah. Give me a Firestorm movie.
There you go.
So for this movie, though, should people go out and find it?
Yes. All the animated movies we've done so far from this DC animated universe, I've enjoyed thoroughly. I think based on the ones we've seen, which is what, 4 or 5 of them now, I can't say we've seen ones that I've been disappointed in. I would say yes, this is definitely worth seeing. And again, you don't need any other connectivity. If you're just looking for something to watch with someone who may not even be a big Batman fan, but is interested in some sort of, you know, superhero movie from this time frame, it's 90 minutes and it's self-contained.
Yeah, I agree with Jeremy on that. Definitely seek it out. You can buy it and rent it on most streaming platforms right now. It's like you said, it's just jumping right into it. You don't have to know really anything except basic Batman knowledge, really, of characters and of him to enjoy this movie.
Yeah, I've been talking about how much I like this movie for years now, so I'm just glad other people have seen it at this point. It wasn't just me. So yes, go find it. But rating-wise, how would you guys rate it?
This is a tough one to come up with a clever rating, Chris. This is a tough movie to do that with. If I had to give it, you know, our normal rating is thumbs up to thumbs down with some funny witty things said at the end, I would just say it's a good 3/4 thumb up on this one because, again, standalone, it's good. But if you're looking for, hey, I want a superhero movie to rush out to see, this may not be what you want to see.
I don't really have any witty on that one, but I'll definitely give it a full... thumbs up for sure. It's a very enjoyable movie. Like I said, don't have to know a lot about Batman. You don't have to really be immersed in the universe whatsoever, except just for the basics. And if you like a good, you know, Jack the Ripper story or a good detective Victorian era looking story and movie, you'll definitely enjoy it for sure. So definitely thumbs up for me. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think it's a solid thumbs up in the sense of that there's nothing wrong I can really point at it to say like, oh, this ruined the movie for me. But at the same time, like it's different enough. I think people need to go see it just to experience it. Not like different like Cemetery Man or different along those lines, but just different that it's a really different take on Batman where we get to see really more of him being a detective and a brawler than where we get sort of the ninja Batman we get later in later years.
Yeah, I did like when he's getting ready to get on the blimp that he has. You see he has like his little smoke bomb.
Yeah.
You get to see that. So you see that in his grappling hook. And like Jeremy said, you know, you see his utility belt. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, it didn't have to see him do more, but at least they did show it, that he actually does have little gadgets and stuff with him, you know. And then up in his little attic, you know, you can see a little bit off to the side of the other suits or his, you know, whatever. So you get to see some stuff in there.
So, guys, you have any last-minute thoughts on the movie before we head on out?
No, like I said, I've liked the animated movies. This one fits right in. I do like that, you know, it's not just that Batman is kind of a regular guy with just a lot of skills and some money to pay for things. Everybody else in the movie, he's not fighting a supernatural entity. It's not Batman versus, you know, some kind of superhuman or alien creature or whatever. It's just a person who also has this large amount of training and this history that's kind of took him this direction. So I do enjoy that. This seems like a very down-to-earth sort of Batman story, while still being very fantastic, but in a completely believable way.
Yeah, this was probably the first animated DC movie I'd watched since Dark Knight Returns, I guess, because I kind of fell off of them for a while. It kind of makes me want to go back and rewatch a lot of the other ones that I've missed that's come out recently, especially the Hush one. I listened to your Hush episode. I definitely want to watch that because I really enjoyed the comic. So I definitely would want to watch the movie of that for comparison.
I know we keep saying over and over again, I do enjoy the fact that there are no superpowers in this movie.
Yes.
I don't think we've seen a movie that used superheroes that didn't have superpowers in quite some time. Not the one I can even think of.
Was Steel. This in Steel?
So we're putting this on the same pedestal as Steel.
Hey, I liked Steel. I thought Steel was fine.
Well, you like Steel as like a party movie, as in like right, hanging out exactly. with friends watching.
It is a mindless but yet totally harmless superhero movie, and I enjoyed it.
So as we head out today, Dan, where can people find you and what are you working on?
The Geeks with Beards podcast. You can find us on pretty much all the podcast streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. And we also have a Facebook and an Instagram. We also have a YouTube channel where our audio episodes are up for your listening pleasure. And we also have a little short videos for toy reviews, which we got a little behind on those, but we're going to try to get some more put out there soon. So yeah, just check us out. Geeks with Beard podcast.
And Jeremy?
You can always find me here watching movies with you, but also every 2 weeks, I'm on the Retrovaniacs podcast, where instead of talking about old movies, we talk about old video games.
For me, you can always find me at Off Panel Creations, always building some piece of nerdy furniture. I want to thank you for spending some time with us, and don't forget to tell your friends all about Movie Smash by Gaslight. So send us a note over at movie-smash.com, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo. Produced by me, Chris Roberts. Executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by the respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Like what he was doing, there was a logic to it. It was his logic and it was, you know, sick, but it wasn't like he wasn't doing things that were crazy. And up until really the very end, and it's only crazy because why would you fight in a giant burning Ferris wheel? But that's what they did.